timelessness and the reality of fate. Historical review reveals that the philosophical basis of all anti-religionist figures and movements throughout history is rooted in materialistic thought. Materialists commonly deny the fact of creation. Instead, they claim that matter has existed forever and will continue to be absolute forever. In other words, they deify matter. In materialistic sources, materialism is defined as follows. Materialism holds that the world has neither a beginning nor an end. It is not created and is infinite in time and space. The reason why materialism deifies matter so greatly is its refusal to accept the existence of a creator, no matter what. That matter is not absolute implies that it has a beginning. That it had a beginning means that it was brought into being from nothing. That is, it was created. As the 20th century drew to a close, the consensus reached by the scientific community verified the fact that matter is not absolute and confirmed that it had a beginning. The whole universe came into existence from nothing by the explosion of a point with zero volume and expanded to take the form it has today. This event, called the Big Bang, is verified today by concrete evidence, observations, and calculations made by theoretical physicists. Today, science concludes that the universe was brought into being from nothingness, as proclaimed by the Quran, as well as all other divine revelations. In all domains, contemporary science refutes materialism and the ideologies based on materialism. At this stage, it only remains for the materialists to behold the collapse of the entire material world and their own defeat in the war they waged against the fact of creation. Despite this, however, materialists, although contradicting scientific truth, completely refuse to accept the fact that matter is not absolute but was created. This is because they know that once they admit this fact, they will also have to accept the existence of God, which in turn will compel them to have faith in God and live by his religion. The religion primarily demands full submission to God, which is totally unacceptable to arrogant people. In the Quran, the situation of those who avoid realities, even though they are aware of them, is related as follows. They repudiated them wrongly and haughtily, in spite of their own certainty about them. See the final fate of the corruptors. Surat An-Naml 14. As well as matter, materialists believe that time is also absolute. In other words, they hold that time comes from eternity and is also destined to continue for eternity. Based on this deceitful understanding, they strive to refuse the existence of fate, the day of resurrection, paradise, and hell. However, today modern science has proved that just like matter, time too was created from nothingness and thus had a beginning. By the same token, it was revealed in the last century that time is a relative concept, a varying perception, and not static and non-changing, as materialists have long believed. The relativity of time and space was also proved by Einstein's theory of relativity, which laid the basis of modern physics. In brief, time and space are not absolute. They were created by God from nothingness and definitely had a beginning point. God, the creator of time and space, is surely not bound by them. God determined and created every moment of time in timelessness. This is actually the essence of fate that materialists fail to comprehend. All events experienced in the past by us, as well as those which will happen in the future from our point of view, are within the knowledge and control of God, the one who is not bound by time and who created time from nothingness. Facts proclaimed 1,400 years ago in the Quran, in which believers unequivocally believe, are confirmed today by modern science, thereby certifying that the Quran is the word of God. Materialist thinking has rejected the existence of God and the fact of creation for centuries. Ironically, today, materialism, which took every opportunity to take refuge in science, is defeated by science in all domains. In this program, you will find concrete evidence confirming that the assertions of the materialists have no scientific or rational validity whatsoever, and that in the light of scientific findings, materialism has utterly collapsed. The issues covered in this program provide significant evidence regarding the relativity of time and space, introducing you to some facts you may never have known or thought about before. As you read these lines, you will comprehend that the world you live in is entirely different from what the materialistic standpoint suggests. What we perceive as time is in fact a method by which one moment is compared to another. We can explain this with an example. For instance, when a person taps an object, he hears a particular sound. When he taps the same object 5 minutes later, he hears another sound. The person perceives that there is an interval between the first sound and the second, and he calls this interval time. Yet at the time he hears the second sound, the first sound he heard is no more than an image in his mind. It is merely a piece of information in his memory. The person formulates the concept of time by comparing the moment in which he lives with what he has in his memory. If this comparison is not made, there can be no concept of time. In other words, time comes to exist as a result of the comparison made between some illusions stored in the brain. Similarly, a person makes a comparison when he sees someone entering a room through a door and sitting in an armchair in the middle of the room. By the time that person sits in the armchair, the image is related to the moments when he opens the door, walks into the room, and makes his way to the armchair are compiled as bits of information in the brain. The perception of time occurs when one compares the man sitting in the armchair with those bits of information. In brief, time comes to exist as a result of the comparison made between some illusions stored in the brain. If man did not have memory, then his brain would not make such interpretations, and therefore would never have formed the concept of time. The only reason why someone determines himself to be 30 years old is because he has accumulated information pertaining to those 30 years in his mind. If his memory did not exist, then he would not think of the existence of such a preceding period, and he would only experience the single moment in which he lives. Since our brain is accustomed to a certain sequence of events, we assume that time always flows forward. However, this is a decision reached in the brain and is relative. In reality, we can never know how time flows, or even whether it flows or not. This is an indication of the fact that time is not an absolute fact, but just a sort of perception. The relativity of time is a fact also verified by one of the most important physicists of the 20th century, Albert Einstein. Lincoln Barnett writes in his book, The Universe and Dr. Einstein, Einstein tried to explain that sense of time, like sense of color, is a form of perception. The subjectivity of time is best explained in Einstein's own words. The experiences of an individual, he says, appear to us arranged in a series of events. In this series, the single events which we remember appear to be ordered according to the criterion of earlier and later. There exists, therefore, for the individual, an I time or subjective time. Accordingly, when this order changes, the understanding of time will also vary. According to the general theory of relativity, time has no independent existence apart from the order of events by which we measure it. Since time consists of perception, it depends entirely on the perceiver and is therefore relative. The speed at which time flows differs according to the references we use to measure it, because there is no natural clock in the human body to indicate precisely how fast time passes. The relativity of time is plainly experienced in dreams. Although what we see in our dreams seems to last for hours, in fact, it only lasts for a few minutes, even a few seconds. Let us consider an example to clarify the subject further. Let us assume that we were put in a room with a single window that was specifically designed and were kept there for a certain period. Let there be a clock in the room from which we can see the amount of time that has passed. At the same time, let us imagine that through the window in the room, we can see the sun rising and setting at certain intervals. A few days later, the answer we would give to the question about the amount of time we spent in the room would be based both on the information we had collected by looking at the clock from time to time and on the computation we had made by referring to how many times the sun rose and set. For example, we estimate that we spent 3 days in the room. However, if the person who put us in that room said that we spent only 2 days in the room, and that the sun we had seen from the window was produced artificially by a simulation machine, and that the clock in the room was regulated specially to work faster, then the calculation we had done would have no meaning. This example confirms that the information we have about the rate of passage of time is based on relative references. The relativity of time is a scientific fact also proven by scientific methodology. Einstein's general theory of relativity maintains that the speed of time changes depending on the speed of the object and its position in the gravitational field. As speed increases, time is shortened and compressed. It slows down as if coming to the point of stopping. Let us explain this with an example given by Einstein. Imagine two twins, one of whom stays on Earth, while the other goes traveling in space at a speed close to that of light. When he comes back, the traveler will see that his brother has grown much older than he has. The reason is that time flows much slower for the person who travels at speeds near the speed of light. This relativity of time is not caused by the deceleration or acceleration of clocks. It is rather the result of the differentiated operation periods of the entire system of material existence, which goes as deep as subatomic particles. In such a setting where time shortens, one's heartbeat, cell replication, and brain functions, etc., all operate slower than those of the slower moving person on Earth. Nevertheless, the person goes on with his daily life and does not notice the shortening of time at all. The conclusion to which we are led by the findings of modern science is that time is not an absolute fact as supposed by materialists, but only a relative perception. What is most interesting is that this fact, undiscovered by science until the 20th century, was revealed to mankind in the Quran 14 centuries ago. It is possible to see, in many verses of the Quran, the scientifically proven fact that time is a psychological perception dependent on events, the setting, and conditions. For instance, a person's entire life is a very short time, as we are informed in the Quran. On the day when he will call you, and you will answer his call with words of his praise and obedience, and you will think that you have stayed in this world but a little while. Surat al-Isra, 52. The same fact is proclaimed in the 45th verse of Surah Yunus as follows. And on the day when he shall gather them together, it will seem to them as if they had not tarried on earth longer than an hour of a day. They will recognize each other. Some verses indicate that people perceive time differently, and that sometimes people can perceive a very short period as a very lengthy one. The following conversation of people held during their judgment in the hereafter is a good example of this. He will say, "What number of years did you stay on earth?" They will say, "We stayed a day or part of a day, but ask those who keep account." He will say, "You stayed not but a little, if you had only known." Surat al-Mu'minun, 112-114. In some other verses, God states that time may flow at different speeds in different settings. In the 47th verse of Surat al-Hajj, God says, "Verily a day in the sight of your Lord is like 1,000 years of your reckoning." In the 4th verse of Surat al-Ma'arij, God states, "The angels and the spirit ascend unto him in a day the measure whereof is as 50,000 years. These verses are clear expressions of the relativity of time. That this result, which was only recently understood by scientists in the 20th century, was communicated to man 1,400 years ago in the Quran, is an indication that it was God, the Creator, who encompasses the whole of time and space, who revealed the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Many other verses of the Quran reveal that time is a perception. This is particularly evident in the parables. For instance, God kept the companions of the cave, a group of believing people mentioned in the Quran, in a deep sleep for more than 3 centuries. When they awoke, these people thought that they had stayed in that state but a little while, and were unable to calculate how long they had slept. Such being their state, we raised them up from sleep, that they might question each other. Said one of them, "How long have you stayed here?" They said, "We have stayed perhaps a day, or part of a day." At length they all said, "God alone knows best how long you have stayed here." Surat al-Kahf, 19. The situation related in the 259th verse of Surat al-Baqarah is also evidence that time is in truth a psychological perception. Or take the similitude of one who passed by a hamlet, all in ruins to its roofs. He said, "How shall God bring it ever to life after this its death?" But God caused him to die for 100 years, then raised him up again. He said, "How long did you tarry thus?" He said, "Perhaps a day or part of a day." He said, "Nay, you have tarried thus 100 years, but look at your food and your drink. They show no signs of age. And look at your donkey. And that we may make of you a sign unto the people, look further at the bones, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh." When this was shown clearly to him, he said, "I know that God has power over all things. Surat al-Baqarah, 259. The above verse clearly emphasizes that God, who created time, is not bound by it. Man, on the other hand, is bound by time, which is ordained by God. As in the above verses, man is even incapable of knowing how long he has slept. In such a state, to assert that time is absolute, as materialists in their distorted thinking do, is most unreasonable. This relativity of time clears up a very important matter. Relativity is so variable that a period appearing to be of a billion years duration to us may last only a second from another perspective. Moreover, an enormous period of time extending from the world's beginning to its end may not even last a second. It may be just an instant in another dimension. This is the very essence of the concept of destiny, a concept that is not well understood by most people, especially materialists who deny it completely. Destiny is God's perfect knowledge of all events, past or future. A majority of people question how God can already know events that have not yet been experienced. However, events not yet experienced are only so for us. God is not bound by time or space, for He Himself has created them. For this reason, past, future, and present are all the same to God. For Him, everything has already taken place and is finished. It is also important to draw attention to the shallowness of the distorted understanding of destiny prevalent in our society. This distorted belief about fate is a superstition that God has determined a destiny for every man, but that these destinies can sometimes be changed by people. However, this is a great mistake, a superstitious belief. For instance, people make superficial statements about a patient who returns from death's door, such as, "He cheated fate." No one is able to change his destiny. The person who returned from death's door didn't die precisely because he was not destined to die at that time. It is, ironically, the destiny of those people who deceive themselves by saying, "I cheated fate," that they should say so and maintain such a mindset. That they will say these words, the time when they will say these words, as well as the conditions under which they will say them, were predestined millions of years ago. Equally, they say these words and make the mistakes they do because this is what is destined for them. God has created everyone with a certain lifespan, and everyone's moment of death is determined as to its location, time, and form in the sight of God. If, in the years to come, the lifespan of a person is extended with timely interventions in the genes, this would not mean that this defeated that person's destiny. Alternatively, if a recently developed treatment cures a fatal disease in a person, this again would not mean that this person has changed his destiny. It simply means the following: God gave this man a long life. The invention of new treatments and the discovery of the gene map are all his destiny. A person can by no means change this moment. All was determined in the sight of God millions of years before this person is born into the world. Owing to these scientific developments, if a person lives for 120 years, this is still the destiny God determined for him some billions of years ago. The mere reason why his life is so long is because he lives the life God grants to him in his destiny. That is because destiny is God's perfect knowledge. For God, who knows all time simultaneously, and who keeps time and space under his control, everything is determined and finished in destiny. This crystal clear fact is proclaimed in the Quran. Some events not yet experienced by us are referred to in the Quran as past events. For instance, in the Quran, the account people will give in the hereafter is described as an event which has already happened. In verses 68 and 74 of the Surat Az-Zumar, it is proclaimed as follows, "And the trumpet is blown, and all who are in heavens and all who are in the earth swoon away, save him who God wills. Then it is blown a second time, and behold them standing waiting. And the earth shone with the light of her Lord, and the book is set up, and the prophets and the witnesses are brought, and it is judged between them with truth, and they are not wronged, and those who disbelieve are driven unto hell in troops, and those who feared their Lord are driven unto paradise in troops." There are other similar examples in the Quran. In the 21st verse of Surah Al-Qaf, God says, "And every soul came, along with it a driver and a witness." In the 53rd verse of Surah Al-Kahf, God states, "And the sinful saw the fire and apprehended that they have to fall therein. No means did they find to turn away therefrom." Occurrences that are going to take place after our death, from our point of view, are related in the Quran as past events already experienced. God is not bound by the relative time frame in which we are confined. God has willed these things in timelessness. People have already performed them, and all these events have been lived through and are ended. He imparts in the verse below that every event, big or small, is within the knowledge of God and recorded in a book. In whatever business you may be, and whatever portion you may be reciting from the Quran, and whatever deed you, mankind, may be doing, we are witnesses thereof when you are deeply engrossed therein. Nor is hidden from your Lord so much as the weight of an atom on the earth or in heaven. And not the least and not the greatest of these things, but are recorded in a clear record. Surah Yunus 61. God introduces himself in his book through his attributes. One of these is El-Hafiz, he who preserves all things in detail. Behind this attribute, there are very important hidden mysteries. In the sight of God, everything related to the past, future, and today has taken place and ended in a moment. Since the beginning of time, everything has taken place at this single moment. In the sight of God, all information pertaining to this moment is kept in a book. This main book, in the expression of the Quran, the mother of the book, holds every bit of information about everything. This issue is explained as follows in the 75th verse of Surat An-Naml. "Nor is there out of the unseen, in heaven or earth, that is recorded in a clear record." In other verses too, God declares that all events people experience, all thoughts that occur to their minds, and everything that befalls them are included in this book. No misfortune can happen on earth or in your souls, but is recorded in a decree before we bring it into existence. That is truly easy for God. Surat Al-Hadid 22. Everything, living or non-living, that has existed and every event that has taken place since the creation of the universe has been created by God. He knows them all. This means that everything is hidden in God's memory. The mother of the book is a manifestation of God's attribute of El-Hafiz. At this point, we arrive at a striking realization. Because God's memory is infinite, nothing existent in him becomes lost. In other words, no living being created by God vanishes. No flower fades. No drink finishes. God creates every moment, and everything is created in eternity and is destined to eternity. What then does this phrase, destined to eternity, mean? Eternity begins for a being or an event at the time it is created. For instance, when a flower is created, it is, in reality, destined not to disappear. The fact that this being goes out of one's memory does not actually mean that it vanishes. Its state in the sight of God is what actually matters. Furthermore, all states of this being, its creation, all moments throughout its lifetime and death, do exist in the memory of God. At the time God creates man in his mother's womb, eternity begins for him. It is certain that man does not recall the stages of his own development in the womb. However, every moment of this progress is present in the sight of God, and they never disappear. Similarly, the initial phases and development stages of a human being do not remain in his memory. Only some moments remain as memories. Yet, in the infinite memory of God, everything remains as it is. Let's take the prophet Adam as an example. All details pertaining to Adam's creation in paradise before he was sent to earth and the way he was tested in paradise are all present in the main book in God's presence. Adam's initial creation from clay, the angel's prostration before him, as well as the moment he was sent to earth, and all the events he experienced are all vivid and existing right now. None of them have disappeared. Likewise, the moment the prophet Suleiman caressed the legs of his horses remains forever. The disappearance of these horses behind a curtain, the letter the prophet Suleiman sent to Queen Saba, the moment this letter was read by the queen and her soldiers, how the queen was welcomed to the palace of Suleiman, and the words of the queen, "I do now submit in Islam with Suleiman to the Lord of the Worlds," Surat al-Naml 44, currently exist and will continue to exist for all eternity. These examples deserve deeper consideration and further detail. Assume that in the time of the prophet Nuh, a man's shirt came unstitched and that a tailor sewed it up after a while. This shirt, its condition before it was unstitched, and the state it was in when sewn up, and even every second the tailor spent using his needle to sew it up. In brief, every stage, every second, every moment the shirt went through are retained in the sight of God. Right at this moment, this shirt is still being woven, is still being sewn, and is still being worn by its owner who lived at the time of Prophet Nuh. In the Quran, God draws attention to this great knowledge in the 110th verse of Surah Taha. He knows what appears to his creatures as before or after or behind them, but they shall not encompass it with their knowledge. In the 5th verse of Surah Al-Imran, God once again reminds us of the fact that everything is within his knowledge. From God, verily nothing is hidden on earth or in the heavens,